Welcome to Channel D54. Over the last 12 weeks, I've had the joy of learning about health and illness as they intersect in Toronto, more particularly Scarborough. I've applied concepts on illness from Arthur Frank, explored the impact that art and its different mediums have had on the ill person, and the plethora of ways that health and illness are defined in our context. But one thing I've yet to adventure into is how Toronto stories of health and illness applies or contrasts to contexts that differ from it. And more specifically, I'm curious about what happens if I flip form and content on its head. What would it be like to apply the real Scarborough-centric content I've learned about in a form that's fictional? To get into this, I want to see what happens when I take illness-related themes from Catherine Hernandez's Scarborough and bring them into one of my favorite fictional worlds that deals with illness in its own way. I want to see how these themes can relate to each other, even though they belong to wildly different contexts. Today, I want to see what happens when I take a Scarborough-centric view of illness outside of Scarborough. One of my favorite series of all time is Hiromu Arakawa's Full Metal Alchemist. Originally a Japanese manga, the story has been adapted into two separate animated series. If you didn't already hop ships to Disney Plus, you can find it on Netflix. The story starts as follows. Edward Elric and his younger brother Alphonse live in a Germany-looking yet still fictional country where they can practice alchemy, a physical and chemical science based on the principle of equivalent exchange. In short, to obtain something of equal value must be lost. And so, when they lose their mother to an illness, the brothers decide to commit the taboo act of resurrecting her with human transmutation. They gathered all of the chemical elements that make up a body. 35 liters of water, 20 kilograms of carbon, 4 liters of ammonia, lime, phosphorus, salt, saltpeter, sulfur, fluorine, iron, silicon, 15 other traced elements. They drew a circle, clapped their hands, and hoped for the best. In the ray of light that emerged, it was not their mother that they saw. In the process, Edward's right arm and left leg were ripped from his body, and Alphonse became nothing more than a soul attached to a nearby suit of armor. Bloody and battered, the brother saw an ashy corpse, distorted limbs and lifeless eyes. It is here at the young ages of 11 and 10 that the brothers learn nothing is equivalent to a human life. If I were to describe their illness, I'd say it's not the loss of their limbs and bodily functions, but rather what it's like to grieve for what you can never gain back. What is it like for an ill person to be grief embodied? In her book, Scarborough, Catherine Hernandez creates a fictional yet very lifelike depiction of one of Scarborough's most highly discriminated neighborhoods, known as Kingston Galloway, a stark contrast to the European-style towns in which the Elric brothers frequent. But similar to Fullmetal Alchemist, the novel starts with a collection of short stories about family, all told from children's points of view. We see Laura struggle to understand the neglect and contempt she receives from her parents. We see Bing's skin crawl in fear at the thought of his father and his best efforts to support his mom. And we see Sylvie, who, alongside her injured father, young brother, and exhausted mother, is doing her very best to simply survive. Just like Edward and Alphonse, each of these children has something that they're grieving over. Whether it's their cute family of ducklings made out of landlord notes, or the sound of their father's painless voices, there are loved pieces of their lives that they may never experience again. Carrying around this grief in their ill bodies, they must still move forward in order to survive. Though, that's a hard task. Something of value has been taken from these kids. To obtain, something of equal value must be lost. By that principle, does losing something important mean that you'll obtain something of equal value? Something Scarborough has taught me about the illness experience is that it isn't always your fault. Sometimes you're born into a precarious situation, or maybe an elected official decided to push for detrimental changes to your education. There are forces acting upon us which influence our health, our illness, and our experience. You can give 100% of yourself to a broken system, but that doesn't mean the system will take care of all 100% of you. Benevolent equivalent exchange doesn't seem to exist as a fundamental law in Scarbrough, and it's proven false in the world of Full Metal Alchemist, too. But still, Laura, Bing, Sylvie, Edward, and Alphonse continue to give all that they have in surviving their illness experiences. As their stories progress, we watch them grow through their illnesses, and their surviving shifts to something bearing more resemblance to thriving. If losing something important means that you'll obtain something of equal value, maybe if you embody grief, you'll one day achieve acceptance, relief, or joy. Although these two worlds differ greatly in their spatial, cultural, and technical content, I find that, oddly enough, they have a similar depiction of grief as an embodied form of illness, and what an illness experience of someone experiencing grief could look like. Fullmetal Alchemist's principle of equivalent exchange serves as an interesting tool for me in deconstructing inequities that plague Scarbrough communities with illness. And Scarbrough's relational understanding of illness informs me of the ways bearers of grief can move forward to a better place. I hope you found this theme analysis interesting. We didn't have text assigned for the latter part of the course, so I thought it'd be fun to pick a creative text of my own choice and apply it in my own way. Again, if you still have Netflix, I encourage you to check out the series.